Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be here tonight. It's always good to be here, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We are going to open with a prayer before we begin our worship service. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us this blessed opportunity, this chance, this time to get closer to Thee, to get to know Thee even better. And I pray, O God, that as we worship here today, I pray that Thou would inhabit the praises of Thy people. Inspire us this day to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, O God, that Thou would be here. We invite You here. We believe Thy promises and Thy assurances that Thou art right here. And I pray, O God, that we would all reach out to Thee, that we'd all feel that closeness we need to Thee, that connection we need to Thee. In these days which are so uncertain, we understand, we know how much we need Thee. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would guide and direct this entire service. I pray that everything we do here today would be done according to Thy perfect will and Thy perfect plan. We ask, O God, for Thy blessing here this night. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our chorus books tonight to number 40 to begin with, and we're going to sing Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh yes, we know that the Lord is worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship. But you can never worship God too much. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 44, Give Unto the Lord. Number 44.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord. to the Lord. O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We're going to turn now to number 64 and sing Bless the Lord, number 64.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he hath done great things. He hath done great things. He hath done great things. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he hath done great things. He hath done great things. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he hath done great things. He hath done great things.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 139 and sing Unto Thee, O Lord, number 139. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Shame, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 169. 169 and sing, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. Number 169.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
Praise God. And it's such a wonderful thing to know that His faithfulness is for all generations. Praise God. Praise God. He was faithful when this psalm was written all those thousands of years ago, and He's still faithful today. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 90. And sing, "The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower." Number 90.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We know that that name is unlike any other name. Praise God. Praise God. That name is a mighty strong tower. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy blessings that Thou hast poured out upon us. We know, O God, that we couldn't be here if not for Thy mercy and Thy grace, and we are so thankful for all that Thou hast given us. I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead us, continue to teach us, continue to inspire us to be faithful and true to Thee. I pray, O God, that Thou would give us Thy great wisdom in these days ahead, for we need Thy wisdom, we need Thy discernment so very much. Help us to know what to do, help us to know how to use these funds for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would help us to continue to be good stewards of what Thou hast given us. I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley, and I hope I can do it. I kind of feel like I'm losing my voice, but we're going to give it a try. And the chorus I have in mind is number 79. I See the Lord, number 79. I see the Lord, I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. I see the Lord, I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. I see the Lord, I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. I see the Lord, I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up.
up, and his train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. We worship you, Lord, for you are holy. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, that's quite a visual, isn't it? To think of our Lord in heaven and seeing Him face to face and being able to cry out and worship Him and praise Him and worship Him for His holiness. And it's an amazing thought to think of the angels doing that, but we're going to be able to do it too. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley for the night and see what the Lord has laid on her heart. Praise God.
Thank the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That is a thought, you know. I think when we see Him, we're just, you know, someone so great and so awesome. So mighty, the one that redeemed us, and what can we say? I mean, who are we? How would we ever get there, you know? Oh, wow. It's so hard to truly understand at this moment what a great and mighty God we serve. But He is awesome. He is great and greatly to be praised. And I just thank God, you know, the scripture talks in the book of Hebrews about giving sacrifices of praise unto our Lord. And you know, that just seems so small compared to His greatness and the wonder of it all in all. But you know, that's something that we can render out of the fruits of our lips, you know, that praise that comes from God. And you know, He dwells, He inhabits the praises of His people. There's something about it, you know, to have a people that love Him, a people that appreciate Him, you know, a people that want to be like Him. It's, you know, God honors that. And there's just something about it. He puts it within our hearts so that we would even want to draw nigh to Him and you know, worship Him and be His children. It's all put there by God. It's all so awesome. But praise the Lord, you know, I just, you know, sometimes, how can we praise Him enough? And I just think, you know, when we get there, oh my, as Brother Samuel was saying, I mean, it's going to be something to behold Him and hear those angels as they worship and praise. But, you know, I don't know who's going to shout the louder, huh? You know, because we're there, you know, and we see Him, and this is past, and I mean, wow, all things have become totally new at that moment. I mean, we're new creatures in Christ as we've been born again, but you know, there, you know, our bodies have been transformed to that resurrected body, and oh my, it's going to be nothing, you know. I don't know even then if we'll have words, you know. I don't have words now, and I don't know, you know, if we could ever express the greatness and the wonder of it all. But our God is so good, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is good, amen. Praise the Lord. I could use a little help with my voice tonight, too, so I'm just hoping the Lord will increase it and help me here tonight. I know we surely could do nothing without the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call upon Him right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness and mercy, Your kindnesses to us. Oh, God, the fact that You brought us here together here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, in this place, oh, Lord, where, oh, Lord, we can seek You one with another. And, oh, God, where we can draw nigh to You, Lord, where we can open up Your Word. Oh, Lord, we thank You for this opportunity. Thank You, Lord, that we have an online audience, too. And I pray that You'd bless all those dear ones that have gathered together to worship, oh, Lord, with us tonight. And, oh, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, just even to have a glimpse of Thy greatness and Thy wonder. Oh, God, Thy ability, Lord, Thy precious promises, all the things, oh, God, that You have reserved for those that love You, Lord. Oh, God, it's beyond our comprehension, Lord. But we thank You, Jesus, and we worship You, we praise You, God. We ask You to be here in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh God, let the strong man be bound, every doubt and fear, let it be all bound in the name of Jesus. And we pray, oh God, that Your word would have free course, that You'd use this word. Oh God, that You'd, oh God, reach down and touch some heart tonight, Lord. Oh God, bring us to that higher ground with You. Help us, Lord, to hear, oh God, and to know, and oh God, to obey, Lord, the things that are written. Oh God, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege, and we ask, Lord, that You be here in a special way, Lord, and oh God, that You bless this message. Oh God, that You give me help in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that this would go forth according to Thy will and Thy plan and Thy purpose. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to give this a short title for once here tonight. We're just going to call it Hearken. And let's just begin briefly here by turning to a psalm, Psalm 81. And, oh wow, the Lord just really changed things on me last week, which was just fine. I see how perfect His ways are, you know, praise the Lord. But we'll see how He leads and directs here tonight. But let's look here at Psalms 81, and we're going to look at verse 8 to start with and read the rest. Praise the Lord. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels." And it's almost a lament in this psalm. As verse 13 goes, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." And praise the Lord, it wasn't that the Lord, you know, asked, you know, impossible things of His people, but, you know, He demanded that they would serve only Him and, you know, have no other gods before them. And, you know, it's so strange, you know, as simple as that seems on the surface, those people traded the God of Israel, the creator of the universe, for gods that were no gods. And I know Jeremiah the prophet laments that a lot, you know, just, you know, the thought and how ludicrous it seems that, you know, you'd have something of such great value, the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, one who loved us so much that he died for us, coming to this world to save us, but yet so many people turn him away and, you know, have other things in their hearts that, you know, are before God. God wants us to put him first, you know, to love him more than anything else, to seek his kingdom first, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. And you know, I mean, it's kind of, you know, what he's saying in the psalm too, you know, if they would have hearkened, they would have listened, they would have heard and obeyed, then he would have subdued their enemies. You know, he would have, you know, in fact, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, it says. And, you know, they wouldn't have been led into bondage. They wouldn't have had all that trouble. And besides, God would have fed them with the finest of wheat, it says, and that wonderful honey that came out of the rock. And in other words, you know, the blessings of God in manifold ways, you know, just giving God giving his people the very best of everything that he could give. And that's the kind of God we serve. If we put him first, if we seek the kingdom of God first in all his righteousness, he adds the other things unto us. And you know, the scripture talks about no good thing will he uphold from them that walk uprightly. And you know, there's just all kinds of promises in God's word. But see, it was another thing to get the people to heed and to hearken unto God. And I know, oh my, as we go down the road of time, you know, we see that many of the tendencies, and people are the same as they were in days of old. And you know, that tendency to forget God and to neglect God and to forget his promises and to do the things that, you know, people want to do, you know, due to their own lusts and desires. You know, that's usually the way people fall. But thank the Lord, you know, I thank God if he put it within our hearts to serve him and to seek his kingdom and, you know, to work hard for the Lord. You know, the harder we work for him, oh my, the stronger and the mightier he's going to help us. You know, there's just something about it. You know, well, I think the saying used to be that the harder we serve him, the easier it becomes, because we learn to let go of our own will and ambitions and let the Lord take over. Let the Lord take control of our lives, and that learning to submit to God and saying, thy will and not mine. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, sounds kind of easy, but yet, you know, this human nature of ours fights, it fusses, you know, it kicks up a storm at times. And, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, a lot of, you know, struggles that go into giving our hearts over to the Lord, that surrender that I believe we talked about last week, but the surrender that we definitely need to do if we're truly the children of the Lord. But, you know, we find that in old Israel, that was, you know, a major struggle. And we're going to go to Jeremiah now. I'm going to have you turn to the 26th chapter of Jeremiah. And I think we'll see some examples here in the Word of God. We're going to be talking about some of these examples in the reign of the king Jehoiakim. He was the son of Josiah. Of course, Josiah had been a very honorable, dedicated king. And when he died, the younger brother, Jehoahaz, began to reign at the first, but it only lasted for 3 months, and then he was carried away into Egypt. But then, you know, they placed Jehoiakim on the throne, and He too was a son of Josiah, and we're getting down to the very end because, we're getting down to the point where they are going to be carried away into Babylon here at this time. And I believe Jehoiakim became king about 608 B.C., about the time of his kingship, and like I said, he reigned 11 years. And we're getting right down there to the end of the kings of Judah. But here, let's look at this chapter here. Jeremiah chapter 26. And it says in the first verse, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word." And I think, oh, here we have the Lord speaking to Jeremiah as he did. You know, God had called Jeremiah as a young person. And Jeremiah almost protested at the first because, you know, he wasn't of age at that point. But, you know, God, you know, say not that, you know, you're a youth. You know, I'm going to put my words in you. And he gave him an assignment. I'll tell you what, it wasn't an easy assignment that Jeremiah had at all. And this that we're speaking of here tonight wasn't an easy thing either, you know, because, well, I guess, you know, if they all had been serving the Lord and their hearts were all right, well, then that'd be one thing. But, you know, God had him to go stand in the court of the Lord's house, and he's going to speak. All the people would be coming forth from all the different cities of Judah. So, you know, as they came to worship the Lord, he was to stand there. And God was going to give him the words. And, you know, he's told here in this second verse, diminish not a word. So, as the Lord gave him the unction, he was to speak it forth. And you know, the whole counsel of God, in other words. And I just wonder, this time period that we live in right now, how many ministers stand in the pulpit and really diminish not a word. I think so many, and most of them, I would say, speak according to their own will, their own thoughts, their own philosophies, and I don't think very many of them at all utter the words of God. In fact, we know we live in a time where, you know, the Word of God is not highly esteemed. In fact, sometimes I dare say they don't even have a Bible when they come up to the pulpit. And sometimes I dare say, in fact, probably more times than not, they're reading from other versions of the Bible, which discredit the Word of God, that add to it and take away from the words of God. And here, God was telling Jeremiah to go stand there in the court of the Lord's house. I'm going to give you words, all of them that are coming to worship me. You know, don't diminish a word at all. Don't do it. Diminish not a word. And then there's a reason. It tells us in verse 3, if so be that they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. See, they were in sin, so to speak. They had rebelled against God. And, you know, they were walking in their own ways and their own concepts and serving other gods. Even though they were coming into the house of the Lord, well, I guess that makes them hypocrites, doesn't it? But God is so just, and here in his graciousness, he was going to give them warning again, going to give them an opportunity to look into their hearts, to take heed of his counsel, and to change their ways, to repent. And God said, if these people will turn from their evil way, then I will turn away from this which I have purposed to do. And then God said in verse 4, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened? Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Well, I tell you, Shiloh had been the dwelling place of the Ark of the Covenant there in the days of Eli. Oh yes, when Samuel was young and you know, he was given as a child to be of use to the prophet, to the priest Eli. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't good, because Israel at that time, as seems to be the pattern again and again, had not hearkened to the words of the Lord, and had truly rebelled and got astray, and there were all kinds of evil abominations, even in the house of the Lord. Eli's sons were full of their own ways and a true rebellion against God, and they were doing abominable things, even in the house of the Lord. So there was a time that God judged Shiloh. And yes, that ark was taken. The Philistines came and took that ark, which they were foolish enough to bring out there as they were warring against the Philistines. But it was taken. And it was a grievous time, because that ark represented the presence of the Lord. And it was as if God had left them. And I'll tell you what, yes, Phinehas' wife, one of the sons of Eli, when she heard the news that her husband had been killed, and you know, Eli also died at that point, and the ark was taken, and she delivered a child and called that child Ichabod, meaning the glory of the Lord has departed. And I'll tell you what, those were some dreadful years when, you know, there was no open vision at that time, and every man did as they pleased in their heart. And thank God, God did raise up Samuel, yes, to lead the people back to God. But that was not a good time. And so God is saying, if you do not hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, then I'm going to make you like Shiloh. And he said also in verse 6, we'll make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. They were to be a blessing. You know, if God was with them, if they were serving God, oh, things would be going well, and their enemies would be subdued. But instead, in rebellion, it would be the other way. And so here was that assignment that was given to Jeremiah. And it tells us in verse 7, so the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Wow, what a reaction to his message. Instead of hearkening, they're rebelling against his words and telling him, thou shalt surely die. That was the reaction to his message that God had given him to proclaim. And then it says in verse 9, why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine this? One man standing there declaring the word of God, and all the people who were supposed to be children of God opposing him. One man against this great multitude of people that had gathered there. And they considered him, oh, as a traitor. You know, you're saying things that, you know, this place is going to be without an inhabitant. You know, it's going to be like Shiloh. You know, that's not being true and faithful to their way of thinking. But God had given him those words. And thank God, it tells us in verse 10, when the princes of Judah heard these things, Then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And imagine, it could have been getting a little bit noisy there, as, you know, these people were fussing and fuming here, you know, and it's, you know, rebelling against the words of Jeremiah. And, you know, obviously the news got to the princes, and here they came. They came up to the king's house, or came up from the king's house, rather, unto the house of the Lord. They sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And it tells us in verse 11, then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes. And notice, these are the religious leaders here. And to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Oh, their hearts were hard. They had, you know, no capacity to hear and understand, it seems, at all. And here it is the priests and the prophets, the religious people, oh, that are leading this rebellion. Now Jeremiah begins to speak in verse 12. It says, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Oh, I'll tell you what, I love the boldness of this man. As we just noted, you know, here he is, so opposed, and now, you know, the princes all march in, and, you know, they're all sitting there in the entranceway and wanting to hear. But Jeremiah does not back down. He doesn't soften his message, you know. He doesn't cave in at this point. He doesn't relent. He tells it as it is. You know, he says, the Lord sent me here to prophesy against this house and against this city. All these words that you've heard is because the Lord has given me these words. And he tells them what is needed. And I love how God gives warning. You know, it was needful. God had purposed to do this anyway. And he could have just done it. But, you know, he was allowing them space to repent, space to get right with God. And so there was a remedy for their actions. And here it tells us in that 13th verse that they could amend their ways and their doings, and they could obey the voice of the Lord, their God. And God would back off, so to speak. The Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced upon you. Oh, if they would only amend, if they would only change, if they would only reform their ways and their doings and obey the voice of the Lord. And you know, he's saying, he's standing his ground, and he's so unafraid. I love this. You know, I mean, he knows they can put him to death. They're threatening anyway. They already have said, he's, you know, thou shalt surely die. But he says, as for me, I'm in your hands. Do with me as seemeth good and meet or appropriate unto you. But then he warns them, know ye this for certain, if you put me to death, you surely are bringing innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. You know, there's going to be consequences because I'm innocent. I'm doing the Lord's work. And if you kill me, your blood is going to be upon my hands. Oh, I know. We heard that story again, didn't we? Those years later when Jesus was in Pilate's judgment hall, you know, those devils that were working in those Jews, oh, rose to the uttermost. And oh, wow, even though it wasn't logical, even though there was no reason, even though Pilate could easily see that there was nothing worthy of death in Jesus Christ, The people cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Oh, Pilate was so confused. Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him, crucify him." Oh, I tell you what, it doesn't make sense, does it? The devil works in people in such a way to stir up their hearts. And here, these people were reacting under the inspiration of the devil. But praise the Lord, God was going to use the princes to help him, to hold back their cry at this point. And he's telling them, you know, you put me to death. You're going to bring that innocent blood upon yourselves. And, you know, that's, again, you know, the Jewish people said, when, you know, Pilate said, you know, Barabbas or Jesus. And they said Jesus to be crucified. And they said, "His blood be upon us and our children." They were willing to take his blood upon them. But I'll tell you what, there is a voice. The blood cries out, "Oh yes, you can't take innocent blood and be guiltless." And I'll tell you what, in this day in which we live today, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people with bloody hands. Oh yes, who have killed the innocent. And I'll tell you what, that blood cries out. But I thank God there is mercy with God. And praise the Lord that we can come to Him and know that He forgives. Yes, and here again, you know, these people were offered the remedy. If they would just amend their ways and their doings and obey the voice of the Lord, God would have mercy. That's our God. He's such a merciful, gracious God who's so willing to forgive, you know. And they had done how many things wrong, but yet if they would only change, if they would only repent, God would show great mercy. And then as the story goes on here in Jeremiah 26, it says in verse 16, "Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord, our God." And then God gave certain of the elders, obviously, some courage to speak. It says, "There rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morasthite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of a house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord?" And talking about Hezekiah, "Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. Thus might we procure great evil against our souls." So thank God somebody was speaking up. And we have the prophecies of Micah. You know, there's the minor prophet Micah. This is the referral here, who did declare in the days of Hezekiah the words of the Lord. And thank God Hezekiah feared the Lord and sought the Lord, and God heard him, and that evil did not happen because of God's mercy and because that they were willing to amend their ways and their doings and to, you know, to obey the voice of the Lord. So here some wisdom is being shown. And then there's another reference in verse 20. It says, "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shimeiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah." And I think this is wisdom here. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, actually, if you go to the 19th chapter, and it tells us that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And they could not put somebody to death without at least two witnesses. and you know, like witnesses. So anyway, here we have two witnesses coming forth, examples where, you know, in the case of Micah, there was a heeding by Hezekiah and the people at that time to fear the Lord and to amend their ways. And then this other prophet had spoken, Urijah. And obviously Urijah is still alive at the time of this proclamation here. And he too had prophesied against the city. So we have them in accord with what Jeremiah had declared. So you've got it all coming out of the mouth of three witnesses in this case. But did Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, heed? Did he listen? Did he hearken? Tells us in verse 21, and when Jehoiakim the king with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And I have a feeling it wasn't just Urijah, but I believe it was also Jeremiah that, you know, they were seeking to put to death at this moment. But Urijah, when he heard this, he didn't stand his ground. So to speak, he was afraid, it says, and he fled, and he went into Egypt. Verse 22 tells us, and Jehoiakim, the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. So praise the Lord, Jeremiah was spared at this point. God did not allow him to be taken, but they did kill Urijah, the king, perhaps, or whoever he commanded to slay him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. But here we see in this chapter a rebellious king, a king who would not hearken, a king who would not listen. And if we'll turn over a little bit in the book of Jeremiah to the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, it seems that the story continues. That which we've just read there in the 26th chapter was in the first year of Jehoiakim. And now as we go into the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, we see that it now is the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came into Jeremiah, unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, and here this time it's going to be just slightly different. In this case, God is telling Jeremiah, in verse 2, take thee a roll of a book, in other words, a scroll, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Okay, now here we are, just, you know, it's a few years after, you know, the other experience that we've related. And here again, God is giving them space or opportunity to repent. And, you know, here again, you know, he's not just doing it, but he's warning them again. You know, just case, you know, I'm going to give them another opportunity to turn from their evil way, that I may forgive them, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now you see the great and wonderful mercy of God. And you know, we have examples otherwise in the scripture. We have the story of Nineveh, that wicked city that repented at the preaching of Jonah. But here, these were Hebrew people. This was, you know, a king of Judah, and he's not very willing to listen as this story continues. But here we see that God is giving them, again, opportunities, space to repent. And we know, as it tells us in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness. But praise the Lord, he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Tell you what, that's the heart of God. You know, hell was not made for man originally. It was made for the devil and his angels. You know, it's because of the vast rebellion in the heart of man that hell had to be enlarged. And how sad it is, but that's not the heart of God. He didn't, you know, want hell to be given over to individuals, but yet the rebellion and the iniquity, the transgressions were so great and are to this day, that I'm afraid that there's going to be many people cast into that lake of fire. But here it is, it tells us, God has given Jeremiah this new assignment now, this to write all the words that he's been given in a roll or a scroll here. And so Jeremiah calls for his scribe, who is Baruch. And it tells us in verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Okay, so obviously Jeremiah was restricted. I'm not sure if he was imprisoned at the moment, because he was at times, or he was just restricted for one reason or the others. And you know, we saw in the 26th chapter that he did personally address the people as they were going into the house of the Lord. But now, this time, his scribe, Baruch, is going to do so because he was shut up and not able to go into the house of the Lord. So it tells in verse 6, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. It's a dreadful thing. And if people could only realize how close they are to falling off the cliff into the brink of hell, I tell you what, oh my, people would only listen. But here it was again, you know, Jeremiah could feel the impact, the anger of the Lord, the fury that God had pronounced. And here again, they were given the people an opportunity to amend their ways. So it tells us, and Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And I imagine it took them a while to record all those words. You know, obviously, it wasn't going to be done by, you know, computer or typewriter or any such thing like that. It's handwritten into those, you know, rolls, those scrolls, as was the custom of the day. And so it tells us in verse 9, and it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ear of all the people. And I'll tell you what, you know, you see, God chose a time when, you know, they all would be coming into the house of the Lord, for a time that had been proclaimed as a fast, and so they all had opportunity to hear it. Let's see what happens here. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Danaliah the son of Shemaliah, and Ethnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Okay, so one called Micaiah heard the words that were being declared by Baruch, and you know, so he goes down into the king's house, into the chamber that's reserved for the scribes, and lo and behold, all the princes were sitting there. So somehow they all happened to be there. So Micaiah is going to declare unto them the words that he has heard, spoken there by Baruch, there as the people were entering into the house of the Lord. So it tells us in verse 13, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of all the people. Therefore all the princes sent to Hudai, the son of Netaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. The princes want to hear it. So here they have invited Baruch to come into their chamber, and he is going to now read the words that were written in this scroll in their ears. So it tells us in verse 16, now it came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. Okay, that's the reaction that the princes are having now. Both one and other, all of them obviously, oh my, this is obviously was very alarming what had been declared there in the roll, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all of these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? And, you know, Baruch's going to explain it to them. Then Baruch answered them, verse 18, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. I believe the princes could kind of anticipate that the king would not take these words too kindly. They obviously knew the nature of the king Jehoiakim fairly well here. So they're telling Baruch and Jeremiah to go hide. And we've got to go tell the king. I mean, you know, obviously, it's very, very serious news. And he had to be told. So now they're going to go to the king. But Baruch and Jeremiah are told to hide. So verse 20 tells us, and they went into the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. Okay, first they just lay the roll. You know, they leave it there in the chamber where the scribe's headquarters would be, and they go and tell the king. But the king is going to have them get the roll. It tells us in verse 21, so the king sent Jehudai to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudai read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now here's the reaction of the king. Oh my, listen to this now. It tells us in verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudai had read three or four leaves, He cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, till all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Oh, I'll tell you what, okay, this is the reaction of this king. Jehudi is reading it to him, and you know, obviously he didn't get too far, 3 or 4 leaves, whatever that indicates, from the scroll. And you know, the king, I don't know if he grabbed him or whatever, he probably did, you know, and begins, he somehow had a penknife, and he begins to cut him up. And then, you know, there's that hearth there with the fire, and begins to toss it into the fire. And then he takes the whole roll, all that labor, the words of God that had been given to Jeremiah and written by Baruch, into the fire. This king who does not fear God or esteem him or desire to repent and amend his ways. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's consequences when people do not fear God. And this king obviously didn't fear God at all at this point. And there were others, it says, verse 24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments. These words did not alarm them. They did not stir their souls. They did not cause them to repent. Neither the king nor any of his servants had heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. At least there were 3 that did try to intervene and make intercession that he would not burn the roll, but the king would not hear. And then it tells us in verse 26, this is how the king reacted. Oh, how wise he would have been to have heeded the words of God, to have hearkened, to have listened, oh, to have repented and turned from his evil ways and led the people likewise. But instead, it tells us in verse 26, but the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamelech, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Now, isn't that a beautiful thing? Here was a very angry king, and, you know, he was reacting very hastily and very angrily, very emotionally, and he is commanding that Baruch and Jeremiah be taken. But that was not the will of God. I love how God knows how to take care of us in the most dire of circumstances. God is with his people, and he knows how to keep us from the evil. He knows how to hide us. He knows how to keep us safe in the midst of great danger, no matter what it is. Oh, I wonder already how many times God has withheld, you know, evil from us. And praise the Lord for those angels that, you know, stand with us to bear us up in their arms lest we would dash our foot against the stone. How many times has God had mercy on us so that the evil that others perhaps, you know, wanted to befall upon us did not happen. But yes, it tells us the Lord hid them. The Lord hid them from this evil purpose and desire of Jehoiakim. Oh, praise the Lord. If he did it for Jeremiah and Baruch, he could do it for us also. Praise the Lord. He did it for Elijah the prophet, you know. I'll tell you what, you know, there in 1 Kings, Chapters 17 and 18, oh, Elijah had to run for his life, so to speak. But God told him where to go. God told him to go by the brook Cherith. And there he was sustained until that brook dried up. And then God had him go to the widow of Zarephath. And there he and she and her son were sustained throughout those years of famine. But we read in that 18th chapter of 1 Kings how the wicked king Ahab, and I'm sure his wife Jezebel likewise, had sent out their men in all directions seeking for Elijah. Again, you know, one man. And, you know, seeking out their servants, you know, their messengers all over the place to try to seek one man. But God had hid him. So they were not able to find him. And they went to all the known countries. And, you know, they made them, you know, take an oath that, you know, that Elijah was not there in their presence. But God hid them, hid Elijah. And I thank God we live in this time where, you know, there's surveillances of every kind. And, you know, they have proposed all manners of evil against the people of God. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God who loves his people. And, you know, he knows how to sustain us. He knows how to keep us, just as he fed the great multitude that left each of the Israelites there in that wilderness where there was no water, where there wasn't food growing all over the place to sustain them. God fed them and took care of them, supplied their needs so that, oh yes, their clothes did not wear out and their ankles and feet did not swell, and they were able to go forth. Even though they were a great multitude, God took care of them. God supplied their needs. God hasn't changed. And praise the Lord, if we're in his hands, we know that he can take care of us likewise. Praise the Lord. So then it tells us, as this story continues here, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After that, the king had burned the roll. And the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burnt. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall surely come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Oh, I tell you what, you might try to destroy God's word. Some try desperately to do it. The devil, it has worked hard, oh, to change and distort the words of God, you know, and that's the world we live in at this moment. The devil has sought to destroy the holy word of God. But the Lord makes a way to preserve his word. And so tonight we can open up our King James Bible and we can read from its pages, and knowing that somehow, you know, we still have it with us. And it's a wonder. And it's a miracle. But it's been preserved by the hand of God. And so it was, the king had destroyed that first roll that Jeremiah had spoke by the mouth of God and had been written by Baruch. But the word of God was still the same. It didn't matter. It could not be altered. What God had declared was going to come to pass. And even so, even though they burn it, oh, even if they would, you know, take every Bible known and destroy it here in the world that we live in today, God's word is still going to come to pass according as it is written. And so it was back at this time likewise. Oh yes, it had been declared, as it had been written, the king of Babylon shall surely come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. It was going to become desolate. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. Oh, if they only would have listened. God is so gracious and so merciful. If only they would have hearkened. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Oh, I tell you what, we serve a mighty God. And what he has declared will come to pass. You know, it doesn't matter how much people may attempt to destroy it. God knows how to preserve his word. Oh, yes, amen. And you know, that great day of the Lord is coming. And how wise it would be if men and women would turn from their evil, rebellious ways. But here in the book of Revelation, the 9th chapter, we have the sounding of the trumpets. And here it says in verse 13 here in Revelation 9, verse 13, it says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of man." Oh, I tell you what, how different the story could be if people would only turn to the living God. It tells us in verse 16, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them." I believe that would be 200 million. "And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone." Well, this may be an army of aliens. You know, it may be devils. You come to this world to fight against men. And it says, "By these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths." Oh, the Lord using them so that the third part of men would be killed, either by fire or by the smoke or by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." Oh, again, our God is a jealous God. Oh, yes, and he has it that we would serve him and none other, that we would fully give our hearts, our minds, our strength, our wills completely over to God. But here are these people, and having seen the destruction of a third part of the men that were killed, could have turned things around. They could have repented. They could have bent the knee to God and surrendered their hearts. They could have turned from their idolatry. But did they? It says in verse 20, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Oh, there was no giving of the heart to God. There was no surrender in those. Oh, yes, that remained. Oh, so it is as we have forthcoming judgment in this world. As we see the hand of the Lord, and you know, as it was, you know, Jeremiah could tell that the Lord was fierce, that, you know, his anger was great. And Jeremiah knew that God meant what he had declared. But yet, did they listen? Did they amend their ways and their doings and obey the Lord? I'm afraid not. And that day did come, yes, when Nebuchadnezzar marched his men into the land. And yes, Jerusalem was taken. Judea was taken. Oh yes, the surrounding lands were taken. And this king that so despised the man of God, the prophet of the Lord, oh, I'm sure, as it declares, his end wasn't beautiful at all. Talks about an untimely death and his body being cast out in the day to the heat and in the night to the frost, and the improper burial, it sounds like, at all. And it declares in 2 Chronicles how that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came in and bound him in fetters to carry him off to Babylon. And he also carried off the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple of his God there at Babylon, the temple of Baal, his God. So it's a story. And how it is, as we walk this earth right now, that great need to heed the voice of the Lord. God gave them space to repent. And you know that space to repent is considered in the second chapter of Revelation. Oh yes, and it refers specifically to Jezebel, that wicked woman. God even gave her space to repent. But it says she would not repent of her fornication, her idolatries, oh, her wicked ways. She would not. And as this time period goes on, oh, we can see the signs. Oh, yes. We know that the sounding of the trumpet is nigh at hand. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know that as the Word of God has declared, our God will come and will not tarry. He's going to come quickly as a thief in the night. Yes, and He's coming for His people. But He's also coming to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, He's coming in that time period when he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Oh, it's all going to come to an end. And how we end is how we will be for all eternity. Oh yes, time comes to a halt. Oh yes, the opportunity to repent, to change, to give one's heart over, to amend one's way is no longer going to be available. That opportunity to hearken, oh, that opportunity is no longer going to be there. But the Lord does have mercy. The Lord does cry. And it tells us in the 14th chapter of Revelation, as John was seeing this in his vision, verse 6, And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, that opportunity to hearken, to get right with God. Oh, that everlasting gospel being preached in all the world, you know, as even Jesus declared in the 24th chapter of Matthew, that the gospel would need to be preached in every part of the world. And here it is. John saw that angel going forth, flying forth in the midst of heaven, having that everlasting gospel to preach. And, you know, God uses people. And I believe, you know, there has to be some kind of impetus, you know, some, you know, there's work that yet has to be done, because the message does need to be declared, it says here, to those that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, none excluded, with a declaration, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Oh, that need to amend one's ways, to repent, to give heed to the glorious gospel. Oh, the Lord has given us so much in coming to this world. Oh, yes, coming to seek it to save us. Oh, coming to bring redemption for a people that would come to Him in humility, who would bow the knee in surrender to the living God, who would humble himself and fear God and give glory to Him. And oh yes, repent, turning their lives around, surrendering the will, praise the Lord, obeying Him. The wonderful, glorious gospel message, to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, that call comes out. Oh, that need to heed, the need to get right, the need to listen. Oh, it's so incumbent upon us. Oh, as we live this day, and you know, after that declaration is made, we see that Babylon falls here in the 14th chapter of Revelation. It says in verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And I know Pastor Meyer is talking about it from his newsletters in 92, which I've been proofreading, how Babylon is the empire of this world. And you know, they're trying so desperately to bring forth their one world, their beast system. And here it is. It falls. It collapses. And it says the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Oh, I thank God. We still have opportunity. The Lord is still calling. You know, that cry is still going out to fear the Lord and to give glory to Him. But that hour of His judgment is forthcoming. Oh, yes, it could be any time, as we see these signs unfolding before our very eyes. Oh, I'll tell you, it is time to fear God. It is time to bend the knee and to give a heart to the Lord. It's time to surrender. It's time to do the things that we need to do for the Lord to get right. Oh, yes, to obey that gospel message. Oh, tell you what, it's going to be over one of these days. Just as judgment fell on old Israel, it's going to fall on this world. And I'll tell you what, we spoke earlier of the glories of heaven and the glories of being in the presence of the Lord. But what a contrast this is, the description of those. They go into the lake of fire, that place of torment, forever and ever, it says, that have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Oh, I thank God that he made a way that we could come to him and bend our knee and hearken unto that call, giving our lives, knowing, oh, yes, the Lord is so gracious. If we will just turn our lives over to him, he will make a way for us. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. Oh, praise the Lord, we have a wonderful privilege. Oh, and I just pray and ask God that, oh, there would be any that yet need to surrender their heart to the Lord, that you would make haste to do so, to fear the Lord and to give him glory and to surrender your life to him. I pray that you would not put it off, but that you would get right, even tonight, this very hour. Oh, yes, as you hear the sound of these words, oh, I pray that you will do so. Praise the Lord. God has made a way for us, his people, just as he made a way for Jeremiah and Baruch. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank thee again, Lord, that we come before thee, Lord. That you have, oh God, called us, oh Lord, to this place. Oh God, you've given us this word that we might take heed, and that, oh Lord, we might bend our knee, we might surrender, that we might get right with you, Lord, that we might do your will and be faithful servants, Lord. Oh God, that go forth and declare thy words. Oh God, being a light in this world that is so dark and so needy at this point. Pray, oh Lord, that you would raise us up. Oh God, and give us, oh Lord, that great desire and zeal, Lord, to go forth and to declare the things that, oh Lord, you would have us to declare before this ends and is over. Oh, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, we need you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we are going to open our hymnals and sing number 327. There's a great day coming, number 327. Shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Judgment.
judgment day. There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom. Depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? The judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment judgment day? Praise the Lord. And dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Lord.